I would like to this year address some very, very fundamental questions of Purim and try and understand this difficult Yom Tov. Now, in the regular Yom Tov, we have a lot of nigla. Now, we have a lot of clear nisim that happen to us. We have Yisias Mitzrayim, we have Kriyas Yom Tov that we celebrate, we have giving us a Torah. And in a certain way as well, even by Chanukah, we have a open nisim. Megillas Esther is basically a sefer that talks about, it's Megillas Esther. Esther means from the Lashon of Hastir Astir. It is totally sealed. It's something that is mysterious. It is something that is hidden. In other words, the ness that happened in Megillas Esther is such that it is basing itself on something that is hidden. And therefore, in order to really get the juices of what it's all about, what Esther, Megillas Esther is all about, what Purim is all about, I'd like to address some very, very basic fundamental questions and understand deeper into the reason of the day, into the reason behind the mitzvahs, understanding what we're doing it, why we're doing it, and how to really get the perfect Purim. First of all, a very simple question. Why is Purim called Purim? Why is Purim called Purim? So the Megillas Esther says in Perek Tes, V'kibul ha-Yehudim, Perek Tes, Posuk Chof Gimel, V'kibul ha-Yehudim es ha-Sheh Chel La-Soif, es ha-Kosom Ad-Chaleem, ki ha-Homon ben Amdosa ha-Gogi, because Homon ben Amdosa, Tzoyer Kol Yehudim, Choshev al Yehudim la-Abdom, he calculated to destroy the Yehudim, V'hippil pur hu-Agoyrol, and he threw a lot, that's called a goyrol, lohumum la'abdom, to know when exactly to destroy them. It says, Apostle Chavov, Al-Kain, therefore, koru le'yomim ha'ele purim. These days are called purim, al-shem ha-pur, because of the name of the pur. Al-Kain, al-kol divrei ha-geres, ha-zoyus ha-moro, kol kochol ma-hegi'aleim, exactly the whole story. Okay? So if it's called purim because Homon threw the pur, threw the lot. So there's obviously two very, very fundamental, simple questions have to be asked. Number one, big deal. Homon threw a lottery. Yeah, he threw a lot, and it happened to come out on the day that Purim came out. Okay, to destroy the Klal Yisrael and Yud Gimel, it happened to fall out on that day. Fine. But is that what Purim is all about? Is that what Purim is all about? Purim is about Lemaisa, Klal Yisrael being under the jurisdiction of one Melech, almost being totally destroyed, with Nisim v'Neflois hidden from our eyes, we saw an incredible ness, and Klal Yisrael from absolute destruction, from being totally destroyed, were saved through HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through his intervention in the world's events, and created a way for us to be saved. That is what Purim is. It's not a fact that Haman threw a lottery, Gewaldig, that's why it's called Purim. It's so not the reason. It is so not defining the day. It is so sort of off the point. Why call it Purim because of that? Secondly, how many lotteries did Haman actually do? The Pasuk says one. He threw a pur. He threw a lot. He says, Al-Shem ha-pur. The Pasuk seems to say, Al-Kain kor yomim ha-ele Purim. We call it Purim Al-Shem ha-pur because of the lot. Which means, if you want to say, for some reason or another, the lot did actually make a very big difference, and for some reason or another, we decided to call the day after that event that he threw the lot, call it Pur, not Purim. What lots? There were no two lots, there's no plural over here. What's that all about? So the Sifsi Chaim, Reb Chaim Freeland, the Zeich Sad Vivracha, brings two beautiful pieces in this in events of Megillas Esther. And the second piece he talks about is basically a basic question: what is the idea behind the Takanas Chazal that they made a mitzvah to bring Mishloach Manos, to bring Matanos Evyonim, to have Seudas Purim, to do Kriyas Megillah? What is the idea behind that? Why is that so fundamental for us connecting to Purim? What is that all about? Is it about Simchas Yom Tov to make us happy in Yom Tov? Fine, if that's the case, on every Pesach and every Shavuos and Sukkos and Chanukah, make a mitzvah of Mishloach Manos Matanos Evyonim. Why is it that Purim is such that we use that day as a day of Mashiach Manzozi? What's the idea behind that? Furthermore, the idea is of a Yom Tov discussed by many, many Achronim, but it's brought back already from the Rishonim, that the idea of a Yom Tov is to bring you back into the atmosphere of what happened then. It's not an historical event that we're commemorating. It is doing something and living the time again, bringing the hashpo, bringing down the abundance of bracha of that time back into our day. That is what a Yom Tov is all about. Asher kedushon mitzvoyis v'tzivonu, that when you do a mitzvah, you bring down the kedusha, but when it comes to a timely mitzvah, it brings down the hashpo of that time now. How do we bring down the hashpo of Purim? By giving matanos evyonim, mishloach manos. Chris Miller, what is that all about? How are we supposed to address that? So again, two questions. Why is Purim called Purim? Because Haman threw a lottery. Big deal! What's it got to do with the ultimate salvation that we had? And if it is got to do something, why is it called Purim? He only threw one lot, it should be called Pur. And secondly, what's the idea of Matan Tzvi Shalach Haman? What does that got to do with Etzem Purim itself? So Rabbi Chaim Freelander says like this. He says that everybody knows, any Rosha, any Tzaddik Lahavdol, everybody knows that there are certain things that one ultimately runs with under our own steam. One manages to run the world with our own power, with our own choice. There are certain things within our control, and that control that we have, we can either do or not do, or follow it through, or leave it, let it go, but it's something that we're in control of. That's the Bechira, that's a chance we have. However, there are many, many things that are beyond our control. They're beyond our control. There's no way that we can identify with our koichas to be doing this particular thing, even within the Torah. For example, we find Gerolos. Where do we find Gerolos? We find it by the Azazel and Hashem. There's two Seirim, bring two Seirim to the base of Mikdosh, and you bring them up. One goes to the Azazel, gets thrown down the rocks, and the other one goes to Hashem and gets served and the blood sprinkled in the Kodesh HaKadosh. Okay? So what's a goyrel over there? The seir is exactly the same size, it's bought with the same value, it's the same height, everything looks exactly the same, and we don't know which one is LaHashem and which one is LaZazel. We don't know which one Hashem wants. Inside the Mikdosh, which one Hashem wants? LaZazel. It's beyond our Bechira. We don't know what to do. Therefore, we make a goyrel. Correct? We find gorolos with regard to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael was split up with gorolos. Why? Because we don't know Ratzon Hashem. Therefore, what we do is, by a goyrel, is basically we say, I don't know what to do, let's cast a lot. Let's leave it beyond our control. Okay, let's leave it to the knowledge that we do not know what's going on. Now over here, listen carefully, is where the difference between a tzaddik and the rosha is. A person who's a maimin knows that it's not his control, and therefore, who is he throwing this decision to? To HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to work from here. I need HaKadosh Baruch Hu's guidance. And therefore, I am setting a lottery, and this lottery will ultimately define the Ratzon Hashem. That is the seichel of a goyrel done by a mamin. A goyrel done by not a mamin is basically saying, I don't know what to do, and therefore, you know, let's leave it to chance. Yeah, just take a blind shoot. Whatever happens, happens. I can't make a decision. Flip a coin, head or tails, I work according to that. You know, so again, flip a coin, head and tails can be looked at as that is ultimately defining Ratzon Hashem. Or the flip a coin means I don't know what to do. Right or left, you know what, I can't make a decision up. Let's just leave it beyond my control, and whatever happens, happens. A mikre, leaves it to chance. So on one hand, you would look at it as providence, as hashkocha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is showing his hashkocha. On the other hand, it could be looked at as basically as, you know, chance, leaving it to chance. Now, who was Haman? Who was Haman? How did Haman run his life? It says a very, very interesting medrash. Medrash says, "Vayaged lo Mordechai eis asher koro." And Mordechai told Esther everything asher koro that happened to him. Yeah? What does that mean? Says in Medrash. Mordechai said to Hasoch, asher koro. What does it mean, asher koro? So he says, Omar la Hasoch, lech emor lo. Go and tell Esther, ben benoi shol koro, Ba Aleichem. Ben Benoi, the grandson of Kerou, came upon us. Mordechai looked at Haman as a Kerou. What's a Kerou? The Ben Benoi Shel Kerou. Where else in the Torah do we find a somebody that connected himself to a chance, to a happening? That we discussed last week's parasha was Amalek. Asher kol chov aderech. It happened to be. Yeah? So therefore, Mordechai is saying, Asher Kerou, he's telling Esther, we have somebody of Amalek who's out to get us. Now, why did he call Amalek Asher Kerou? Because that defined who Amalek was. Amalek was somebody who did not see Hashkocha. He did not see something beyond his control as something controlled by Kodesh Baruch Hu. He saw everything as a happening. It's basically, you know, if you're, I'm sure as a child you had a dot to dot, what's it called? Not puzzle. Yeah, a picture of dot to dot. But basically you have a bunch of dots.
Connect the dots.
A bunch of dots, like in 1, 2, 3, 4. And you can have 50 dots, 100 dots, 250 dots, 300 dots. And you look at the picture and you do not see anything. All you see is a mumble jumble of dots and numbers. Right? And then what you do is you take your pencil and you very carefully connect between the dots. And very soon a picture emerges. You see very clearly a beautiful picture that has come out from what you've done. Amalek saw a bunch of dots. He did not take the pencil and connect the dots. He saw Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim. Fine, Shkoyach left Mitzrayim. Okay? 1 second. How did Klal Yisrael leave Mitzrayim? Did not see Hashkocha Elyona? Did not see Kodesh Baruch Hu in control? No, it happened. It happened to leave Mitzrayim. Okay. Then, what happened next? They had Kriyas Yamsuf. Wow! Kriyas Yamsuf. Clearly Kodesh Baruch Hu loves them. Right? No, not happening, a tidal wave. And then you have one thing after another. Mom! Oh yeah, they're just lucky. Everything was chance. Everything was lucky. It just happened to be. It was Asher Kerou, Asher Kol Chov HaDerech. It was a chance. It's a happening. They looked at the Hashkofa. They looked at HaKadosh Baruch Hu's running of the world as something non-existent. It is all luck. It is all chance. Says Mordechai, Haman is the same old Amaleki. He is somebody who works by chance. For example, Haman could see the values of what's going on. If he looked at the parasha a little bit carefully, if he looked at Megillas Esther, if he looked at the situation, what happened with him, within his own life, he could see very clearly how certain things were clearly not by chance. For example, he is going out now to go to Achashverosh and wants to ask Achashverosh a very simple request. Take one man, I've made a tree of Chamishim Amma, I've made a gallows of 50 Amma's high, 100 feet high, I want to hang one man, do you mind? And who is this man? A bloody Jew. That's all it is. Yeah, it's a Jew. Take him. I want to hang him. Is there any reason why Achashverosh should say no? Absolutely not. Here he is giving his signet ring over to him. You can do whatever you want. I'm giving you a blank check. Wipe out Klal Yisrael. Wipe out Klal Yisrael. What date? Whatever you want, right? Now he wants to do a little bit empty. There's one Jew who's antagonizing, annoying him. I want to kill him early. Give him die with pleasure. I want to kill him. Kill him. Right? Does he need any permission for that? Maybe a little bit, but how easy for him to get it? Punkt, what happens at night? The melech can't fall asleep. So what happens? He calls for a book. Yeah? Now, if you're trying to fall asleep, you don't call a book about your life experiences. You know, you can get you angry, you can get you passionate, you can get you upset, you can get you thinking. You bring, I don't know, a Shakespeare, right? Or you bring Kipling. Or you bring whatever it is. You don't bring your life. But he decided to bring a book of his life experiences. Fine. Brings it along. And the Hashkocha Elyona is that the Punkt read out the story of Big Summer Seresh. No, it wasn't Punkt, Big Summer Seresh. The one who supposed wanted to read it out had no intention to read it out. In fact, the Pasuk says, Vayimtza, and he found. Vayimtza, and they found. Found means it wasn't there beforehand. What happened was it actually crossed it out, and then Eliyahu HaNavi rewrote it. It says it's brought down that they didn't want to read that bechlal. Vayiyu nikra'im, and they were read. Nobody read it. Me'eleim hoy nikra'im. It was actually from the book it started speaking. Anes, right? So therefore, he hears about Big Summer Seresh. Punkt that night, he hears about Bigson the Seresh. Pum that night, he hears about Mordechai, how he is a hero. And Pum then, Haman is walking around. He calls Haman in. He asks him a ridiculous question. Let me tell you, ask your advice. What would you do to somebody who deserves this? Haman gives him a ridiculous answer, put him on a horse, and then Haman can't possibly ask now to kill Mordechai, because that's treason. Person who says, and unbelievable Ashkocha, punked. He couldn't sleep, and he happened to be asking about Mordechai that he wants to kill, and now he's got to give him covered, and Haman can't go along with his plan. Now, that's more than bad luck. Yeah, that is incredible Ashkocha. What did Haman do when he came home? What did he say to his family? He said that funny thing happened to me today. Yeah, very coincidence. I happened to go into the king and he asked me about Mordechai. That's not coincidence, that's an incredible lightning of Hashkacha. Kuro, it happens. That was Haman's life. It was all about happenings. There's nothing connected to it. Now, everything he saw is a mikra. A tzaddik, however, sees his Hashkacha in as much that at certain times he can do what he's supposed to be doing, regular Bechira, and if he doesn't have the control to know what he's supposed to be doing now, he looks for guidance from Shemayim. And whatever Shemayim tells him to do, he looks at the events and he follows the path from there. Okay? He looks at Shemayim to determine his path. That's a tzaddik. Haman was a complete... He had steers. On one hand, he didn't know when to wipe out Klal Yisrael. He had no idea. What day is the determined day? It's not based on his Bechira. So what does he do? What does he do? He asks for guidance from Shemayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please give me guidance when I am supposed to wipe out Klal Yisrael. That's ridiculous. You're asking guidance from Shemayim to help him with something that's going to wipe out Klal Yisrael that's totally against Shemayim. The only story I can remember of that, a similar story, we had one boy in Gates of Yeshiva who was... He started smuggling cigarettes on a small scale. Okay? On a small scale. And, you know, he'd come back bein hazmanim, instead of taking his pack of 200 cigarettes, he'd bring with him 4 packets, 800 cigarettes, 1,000 cigarettes, and he'd sell them. He'd sell them to the cleaners, he'd sell them to the couple of guys that had connections in the pubs, and he'd sell the cigarettes. And he saw he made a lot of money. He'd make from each little sleeve of cigarettes, he could make £20, right? So he started doing it a little bit more, and a little bit more, and a little bit more, and a little bit more. Eventually, he came to a stage where he was weekly, he was going over to France for a very short trip, bringing back, and he'd bring back a whole suitcase of cigarettes. Okay? Eventually, he got caught. So Rav Matisyahu Salomon said to him, what were you thinking when you're going through with all these cigarettes? What were you thinking? If you get caught, you're in a lot of trouble, right? You're going to get it all confiscated, plus you get a criminal record. What are you thinking? So he said, what do you mean? Well, I was thinking, I thought about the Mashkech Eva Shmuz a few weeks back, talking about the Briskerov's help of Ein Oid Mulvadoi. If a Klal Yisrael, if a Yid thinks Ein Oid Mulvadoi, there's nothing about the Rabbeinu Shleilam, no harm can come to you. So Matsyahu said to him, 1 second. Here you are, stealing, openly doing something that can clearly create a terrible Chil Hashem, and you're thinking, Ein Oid Mulvadi, there's nothing about the Rabbeinu Shleilam. It's ridiculous. When he got caught, what happened? Did he understand that Rabbeinu Shleilam is giving you a message? He said, no, I had bad mazel. I had bad luck. Means Rabbeinu Shleilam was involved over here, I had bad mazel. That was, okay, I'm not going to say he's a Haman, but that was Haman's Hashkafa as well. I use HaKadosh Baruch Hu whenever I want to, right? And when things go my way, it's Kolichi Vayitzim Yodi. When things don't go my way, then it's a mikra, it's bad luck. But one hand you use HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one hand he just flips them out. But then it's bad luck. How do you live with this? It's very difficult to understand the stira. But that was Haman. Haman used Rabbeinu Shleilam when he, you know, as the guidance from Shemayim in order to kill Klal Yisrael to go against Shemayim. You get people like that. You know, Be'ezrat Hashem, Be'ezrat Hashem, I'm going to be driving tomorrow to the Kolisol on Shabbos. You know, how can you say Be'ezrat Hashem driving to Kolisol on Shabbos? It's ridiculous. But somehow they can use the guidance from Shemayim, yes, and then say, if it works his way, it's all me, and if it's not me, is bad luck. Tishmaz, mazal shali, a bad mazal. Right? Haman was all about the poor. Haman was all about looking at the day as looking at the Kodesh Baruch and saying, Rabbeinu Shleilom, I don't know you exist. It's all mikre. I'll sometimes use you for my own purposes, because I don't, I won't call you God. I'll call it, you know, maybe fate, or maybe I'll call it something else, but I won't call it God because I don't really believe in God. Yeah? But I will use it for poor. I'll use that day as maybe some kind of divine guidance to a certain extent, but I'll use it for my purposes. That's the poor that Haman threw down. He was a kafir. He was an unbeliever. He did not believe that everything a Kodesh Baruch Hu has in this world is for a purpose. He did not believe for one second that Adarava, on totally on the contrary, that Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to be using his downfall as our savior. He's going to be using Haman with his poor as our future, as our Purim, as our Hashkocha that happened again and again. Through Haman, we got saved. How? Haman says, get rid of Vashti. Thank you very much. Vashti's out of the way. In comes Esther. Right? Haman, yeah, says about Mordechai. Watch with Mordechai, make Mordechai glorious. Thank you very much. Mordechai is now glorious. Right? Again and again. Yeah? Mordechai is the one, the Haman is the one who has created our future. Haman is the one that created our hope. From Haman's poor, from his apikorsus, from him throwing a lot and saying, Kodesh Baruch Hu, everything's a mikre, I don't believe in you. Yeah? And I'm just going to throw the lot as a way of determining the future without Hashem in my life. In fact, I can take the lot, the result of it, and use it in order to go absolutely against Ratzon Hashem for my own purposes. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu, you know what? That is what you think, that's poor. But through you, through Haman, through everything, I've manipulated you little by little in order to save Klal Yisrael and make them into a Purim, to make our future, to save us. That is Ribbono Shel Olam. That is how one has to learn through the parasha. This is a parasha here. This is a very, very difficult sefer. But you work it through. You sit through the Megillah and you listen how Kodesh Baruch Hu tweaks move by move the chess game until Haman falls splat on the floor and his poor turns into our Purim. That is the essence of the day. Our lives are like that. Rabbi Chaim Freelander says that the lesson over here is to understand that sometimes things are beyond our control, beyond our bechira. Look up to Shemayim and get guidance from Shemayim and make sure that we don't interfere with the Ratzon Hashem. We don't say we have an agenda and we'll try and fit God into us. We have to fit into what Kodesh Baruch Hu wants and look into that guidance. And know that the choices we make are our choices, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu has ultimate control of the world. We can choose to steal from one place, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take away a panosa from somewhere else. It is all under control. It is all Hashkocha Elyona. We walk out the Megillah feeling inspired that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, though we sometimes don't see it. But little moves over here, little moves there, has ultimately changed the whole history of Klal Yisrael. And not dafka within Purim, within our own lives, we have the same thing. That's Purim Purim. Okay, what is the deal behind Mishloach Manos? What's the deal behind Atonement of Yonim? What's the deal behind Kriyas Mil? What's that all about? So there is a very interesting pasuk, and which is one of the main factors. It doesn't look like a very important pasuk, but according to the Medrash, this is one of the main factors of the key to understanding the way Haman correctly read the situation of Klal Yisrael. In other words, Haman did not go into this plan blindly. He knew the situation where Klal Yisrael were in, he knew their weak point, and he knew exactly how to manipulate that and also to totally take them down. And he was right. The pasuk says, Yeshnoi am echod. He said to Achashverosh. Where is this? Whoa. Yeah. Pasuk says this in Perek Gimel, Pasuk Ches. Vayimahu lemelech Achashverosh. Haman said to Melech Achashverosh, Yeshnoi am echod, there is one nation, mefuzar u mefurod ben ha'amim. that is scattered and split amongst the nations. Mechol medinas malchusecho, from all the medinas of your malchus. Okay? Says a medrash on this. First of all, stop over here. Well, first of all, it says, Yeshnei am echod. Achashverosh, we have a problem over here. We have one nation. We have one nation which is Mefuzot Meforid Ben Ha'amim, that is scattered amongst the nations. Why is that Achashverosh's problem? No, we have a problem over here. If the Jews were united in one place, it would be much harder to conquer them. The fact that there's a few Jews here and a few Jews there makes it much easier for you. There's much less chance of a rebellion. So what is Haman saying to Achashverosh? Oh, Achashverosh have a problem over here. We have a nation that is scattered. What does Achashverosh care? Why is he saying it to Achashverosh? Secondly, what b'shat yeshna am echod mefuzar u'mefoyred min ha'amim? We have one nation that is scattered. He should say yeshna am mefuzar mefoyred. What's am echod? There is an echod, one nation. If they're scattered, they aren't one nation, are they? There's no echod. There's no united factor between them. So why say am ech mefuzar mefoyred? I say am, there is mefuzar mefoyred. A nation that is scattered. And furthermore, why does he say Fuzum forward bain ha'amin, between the nations? Just say Fuzum forward, they're scattered. What's bain ha'amin, between the nations? So again, why does Haman bother to say to Achashverosh that it's a scattered nation? What difference does it make to him? Secondly, why say Echod, I'm Echod, if it's Fuzum forward, they aren't Echod if they're scattered? And thirdly, why add bain ha'amin, between the nations? What difference is there if it's bain ha'amin? So there's a very, very important medrash. The medrash says like this. Medrash says, excuse me a second. Yeah. The pasuk says, just a second, okay. Yeshnei am echod. What is the echod referring to over here? It says a medrash. V'yema homa lemelech achashverosh. Yeshnei am echod. Oysoi shenema boi Hashem echod. Yoshon loy me'amoy. Again, read the pasuk carefully. V'yema homa lemelech achashverosh. Yeshnei am echod. There is a nation of a echod. What's the echod referring to over here? The echod over here is not referring to Klal Yisrael. Yeshnoi am echod is referring to Yeshnoi from the lashon of Yeshon. Yeshnoi, he is sleeping. Sheino. Yeshnoi am echod. There is sleeping to the am that is from echod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sleeping for his nation. Yeshnoi am echod. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sleeping to his nation. Tahainu ha echod hazeh hu Yoshon me amoi. She'einoi shoyme ato al Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sleeping, he's not worrying about Klal Yisrael. Yeshnoi am echod, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sleeping. To that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu replied, V'yikatz ki yishan Hashem v'yach tzorav ocher, the posuk containim ayin ches samachay vav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will wake up. Which means HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in fact, did not disagree with Haman that he was sleeping, but he said, I will wake up. Like the hinei loyonav lo yishon. Means HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I will wake up. How can you possibly say Hashem is sleeping? Hashem doesn't sleep. What's Pshat? Pshat is Poshut, Rabbi Yisai. Pshat is like this. That sleeping is how we view HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That there are stages in history where we can clearly see HaKadosh Baruch Hu looking at us, and stages in history where there's hest upon him, where we don't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah? And we see as if Ke'ilu he's sleeping. Where was God during the Holocaust? Where was he? You know where he was? He was in with us in the gas chambers. And that was part of his hest upon him. That was part of his hest upon him. Where was God? You're right. Hashem did not show his face. There was hest upon him. Ke'ilu he was sleeping. So, the Sheino, the sleeping of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, is got to do with Echod. Yeshnoi am Echod. HaKodesh Baruch Hu is sleeping. It's something to do with Hashem Echod, Hashem is one. What connection is a sleeping got to do with Hashem Echod? Listen to this beautiful. Listen to this beautiful. Listen to this beautiful pshat. So he says that this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has tefillin. Gemara says in Brachos Daf Vav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has tefillin. What does it say in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tefillin? He says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mi ka'amcha Yisrael goy echad ba'aretz. Yeah? Who is like Klal Yisrael, one nation? What does it say in our tefillin? Shema Yisrael Hashem Lekeinu Hashem Echad. So in us, in our tefillin it says Hashem is Echad, and within HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tefillin it says HaKadosh Yisrael is Echad. What is the connection between HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tefillin? What's Peshat in that? The terrace is Rabbi Yisai. Whether HaKadosh Baruch Hu wears tefillin or not, we don't know. But what it does mean, tefillin is what you call pe'er. Pe'er is a crown. It's our glory. Our glory, our koichus, our pride, our majesty is a fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is echad, is one. That is who we are proud of. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one. He is infinite. He is the only one in the creation. That is our pride. That's when we wear tefillin, that's what we're doing. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu wears tefillin, it is a fact that Klal Yisrael are united. Mi ka'amcha Yisrael goy echad ba'aretz, Klal Yisrael are united. If Klal Yisrael are united, if Klal Yisrael are together, that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's pride. Why? What's the idea behind that? Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's pride connected with us? It's poshut that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's appearance in this world is taller than Klal Yisrael. If Klal Yisrael are together and are united, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is seen in the world. Where there's machlekes and where there's split in Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not seen. Why is that so? So Rav Chaim Friedlander says a beautiful piece of Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah brings the Shara Shuvah Shah Aleph, Simon Lamed Aleph, he says like this. Letaiva Yivakesh Nifrod. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, listen to this, Rabbi Yisai, it's so beautiful. He says, what splits people? What creates a splinter movement within Klal Yisrael? Why do people not get on? It's because every person has their own taiva. And I have my desire, and I have my goal, and I have my way of dealing with things. You have your desire, you have your goal, and your way of dealing with things. Since they don't connect one with the other, since they sometimes contradict each other, that causes a split. In other words, the more we have our own taiva, the more we have our own desire, the more we are ultimately pushing away Klal Yisrael one from the other. Each one has their own desire, they have their own goal, and they have their own destination. There's no connection, there's nothing connecting Klal Yisrael. With HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if we connect with Ribbono Shel Olam, if we are able to say, forget about taiva, I want to connect to Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm pushing away who I am, then that is how Klal Yisrael connect. That is how Klal Yisrael get together again. In other words, how is HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hashem Echad? How is HaKadosh Baruch Hu one? If it's Mi Ka'amcha Yisrael Ge'echa Ba'oretz. Where is the glory of Klal Yisrael? If Klal Yisrael have one glory only of Hashem Echad. If we have one glory that we want to make HaKadosh Baruch Hu's apparent, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina come down to the world, the only way to do it is by doing it of getting away from our own taiva, and the only way of doing it of Mi Ka'amcha Yisrael Ge'echa Ba'oretz. By uniting, by coming together, that is how we bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu back to this world. In other words, unity of Klal Yisrael brings HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence down to this world. And the more we want to work together to bring together Ribbono Shel Olam in our life, we want to get rid of our taivas, that is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be apparent in the world. Says Haman, and he was right, Yeshnoi Am Echad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sleeping. You know why he's sleeping? Because it's Mefuza Umufurud. Because Klal Yisrael are split. There's no unity. And the more Klal Yisrael are split, the more HaKadosh Baruch Hu sleeps. Says Haman, how did Klal Yisrael reach that position? How did they come to the stage where they're so splintered? Where did they learn this from? Says Apostle, Bein Ha'amim. Because of being amongst the Goyim, they have learnt all their taivas, they have learnt all their shtus, they have learnt to be running after Porsches and BMWs and iPad 3s, and that's the whole taiva, that is the whole world, that's who they are. They're not connected with Ribbono Shel Olam. And therefore, Yeshnoi Am Echad, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sleeping. Mefuza Mufuru, because Hashem is sleeping because we are splintered, And we learn that Bein Ha'amim from being amongst the Goyim. What did Esther say? How do we get around this? It's not possible to bring our Kodesh Baruch Hu back to this world in that position. How do you do this? Leich Knois as Kol Ayudim. Bring back Klal Yisrael altogether. And she was successful. The Pasuk says many times, we talk about Klal Yisrael as Loshen Yochid. What does it say? It says, "V'shar ha'yehudim asher medinas hamelech nikalu va'omad al nafshom." Esther test posuk tezayin. Klal Yisrael omad. Don't say va'omdu and they stood. Va'omad and they stood as one. Va'omad as one al nafshom on their souls. There was total achdus. The posuk says, "V'kibel ha'yehudim es asher chede laseis." Not v'kiblu they. V'kibel they were one. In other words, Haman started off with disunity, showing how Klal Yisrael are split, and therefore that is our tool to destroy Klal Yisrael, because that puts Kaviyochel Hashem to sleep, and Mordechai and Esther united Klal Yisrael and brought them back together again, and by doing so, he made them into one, and we got back our Koiches again. What has that got to do with Purim today? How do we bring that Hashbor of waking up a Kodesh Baruch Hu, bringing back as Hashkochelin back into this world today? The Chazal will masakin that we give Matanos Evyonim. We give Mishloach Manos. What's the day behind Mishloach Manos? The Pasuk says in Mish in Derech Eretz Zutta, he brings down Im Chofetz Ato. Listen to this carefully. I'm sure you've seen this before in Kuntos Achesed of Reb Dessler, but it comes before this. Listen to this. Im Chofetz Ato Lidovek Ba'avas Chavirecho. If you want to connect with the love of your friend, have a noise v'noise in b'tovosoi. Go and invest in his good. It doesn't say im oyev atacha. If you love your im oyev atacha v'recha. If you love your friend, have a noise v'noise in b'tovosoi. Give him something. It doesn't say that. It says if you want to connect with your friend, give him something. In other words, the key to connecting, to making achdus, is making go through the motions of giving to a friend. Chazal said, we have to connect with that Hashkocha Elyona. We've got to bring a Kodesh Baruch Hu back into the life of Purim, which is all about Hashkocha. It's Purim. Yeah? Purim is all about HaKodesh Baruch Hu showing us how he runs the world without us even noticing it. Things beyond our control, HaKodesh Baruch Hu working through. How do we get this Hashkocha Elyona? How do we wake up a Kodesh Baruch Hu? By uniting Klal Yisrael. How do we unite Klal Yisrael? Do acts. Little acts. Little acts. That ultimately make you love your friend. What do? Give him something. Give them a Shloach Manos. Give them something. And that creates Achva V'Reus. Now listen to this. It's a Gevaldige Gemara. Okay? I'm very soon finish off with this. The Gemara says in Megillat Avzayinam Abeis. Now this is a very strange Gemara. For years and years. Yeah? I've had this Gemara shver, and I never had a good pshat. I never knew this. The Gemara says, "Abaya ba'ovin v'Rav Chanina ba'ovin michlefa su'udasayu." Yeah, it says that Abaya ba'ovin and Rav Chanina ba'ovin, apparently they were brothers. Yeah, michlefa su'udasayu, they would switch their su'udas. In other words, it's a Gemara dealing here with Mishloach Manos, and the Gemara says, "What's a way of dealing with Mishloach Manos? They would switch their su'udas." Says Rashi. The Ram says, Haram v'oid meforsh mevarin. Abaya v'Rav Chanina hoya aniyim. The Ram said they were aniyim. So how do you get round Mishloach Manos? Yeah? Shekol echon noson lechaveri esudos. So each one would take their portion of schnitzel and potatoes they got for lunch, and they'd give it to their friend, and that would Mishloach Manos, Israelis each change around their portion. Okay? That's one pshat. That's the Ram's pshat. Rashi, that's posh pshat. So each one fulfilled the obligation. Okay? Okay. Adam? Yeah, hopefully you do a little bit more than that. So Rashi says a different pshat. Rashi says, "Machle for suda sayu." So Rashi, listen to this. Rashi says they switch the sudas. Ze oichel im ze b'purim shoshana zu. This one would eat by the other one purim. Ubeshnia soyd chaveri imoy. And the next year his friend would eat by him. So whatever, Abaya ba'oven will eat by Rechnida ba'oven 1 year. And a chinah ba'oven will eat by a bayah ba'oven the other year. What is the obvious kasha? What's the obvious kasha?
Only one mechanism.
Exactly. By doing so, by me inviting my friend to my house this year and him giving me nothing, yeah, I've been yotzei my mitzvah of giving him mishloach manos. But he who ate in my house, yeah, he's not being yotzei shachmanos. Next year, I eat in his house. Yeah, so then he's being yotzei shachmanos by giving it to me. But I'm not being yotzei shachmanos by giving it to him. So how does it help? The Gemara says, how do you yotzei shachmanos? By he gave one, he gave the next year. Shkoyach. But the year that the one person ate in the other person's house, that person who ate there is not being yotzei mishachmanos. So what's going on? How does Rosh Pshat make sense? Says of Bach in Aruch Chaim Simon Tov Reish Sadi Vov. He says that the idea behind Mishloach Manos is not about giving something to your friend. The idea behind Mishloach Manos is creating achva v'reis, creating love. Asks the Gemara, what do you do with Mishloach Manos? What's the idea behind Mishloach Manos? Says the Gemara, you know how you can get around Mishloach Manos? By inviting a friend and showing him your love and him showing you his love, that is Mishloach Manos. And therefore, the fact that they got on so well, that they invited each other to the tables for the Purim Suda, that was their Mishloach Manos. Because the idea behind Mishloach Manos is to create love, to create unity between Klal Yisrael. And therefore, each year when they eat by the Suda, by the other one, they're sitting together with the Achav Reis. That's the Mishloach Manos. The Mishloach Manos is all about creating unity. Matonos Yevyonim is all about looking out of yourself, looking for other people's needs. If we did that, then we unite amongst ourselves. We unite amongst our neighbors. We unite amongst Klal Yisrael. We bring us all together again, and we reawaken our Kodesh Baruch Hu's Hashkocha, and we make Purim into a day that is not only commemorating what happened then, but is a meaningful day that happened actually today. We reawaken our Kodesh Baruch Hu's Hashkocha Yoina, that can create tremendous, tremendous things on that day. The Kotzke used to say that there are 2 days that are chaval. Such a shame. He said, 2 days. He said, the day of a chasna, the day of the chuppah, is gegeben geworden zu zwei kleine Kinder. It's a shame that the day of the chuppah that's so important is given to 2 little children. And he said, and it's a shanda. It's a shame that Purim is gegeben geworden zu shikirim. That Purim was given to people who are drunk. That's a separate issue why we get drunk, okay? But the koichas of Purim, Yom Purim Kippurim, if we're lucky, our Yom Kippur will look like Purim. If we just united, you know, you got a friend you don't like. Not a friend, you got a neighbor you're not getting on with, right? And you don't get on with him the whole year. And he complains about you scratching the chairs over his head. And you complain about him parking your car and your thing. And you don't get on. And a little bit of drink. And a little bit of shalach manas, yeah. And you hear him singing down, says you go down to him. And you're kissing each other and you're hugging and you're dancing again. You know that doesn't shemaim. So you're a bit drunk, and you can blame it on being shikha. Yeah? But it doesn't matter. You know, there's in my observation, there's 2 groups of people on Purim. There are 2 groups of people. Those people who are drunk, who pretend they aren't drunk. Yeah, you ask a person who's drunk, are you drunk? No, I'm not drunk at all. Yeah? And those people who aren't drunk and pretend they are drunk. Yeah? People are bakhlal, they're not shikha bakhlal, they pretend they're shikha, and they go around. And really, you get them in the corner, they're completely fine. But it doesn't matter. If you can take somebody you really want to make up with, but it's very difficult to say, I'm sorry, and I apologize, and you know, I'm a terrible neighbor, and you're a terrible neighbor. You take him, and you pretend you're drunk, you start dancing with him, waltzing around the room, and kissing each other. Fine, let him think you're drunk. Let me think. You're not going to think you're mishugi. You think you're drunk. But the next day, there'll be a different relationship there. What one mustn't do on Purim is use it chas v'shalom as a split. You know, you give it somebody beautiful shlachmanas, and he gives you back, you know, a wafer, and a bumba, and a half an apple, right? And you, what a stingy guy, typical. You know, one verse that you're breaking apart the whole ideas of Mishloach Manos, of unity, yeah? All the different shticks, you know? I gave once a beautiful Mishloach Manos, a guy gave me back a 3 glicks, you know what glicks are, little chocolate things, with a leban. You know, leban is a yogurt, right? So with a shtick, you write a little thing, it should be a glick licha leban. It should be a lucky life. Very nice. Fantastic shtick. That's for a 7-year-old. Yeah? Not for a person who is financially stable. But to look at that and say to yourself, what a stingy guy. Then you're breaking away the whole concept of Purim. You're taking Rabbi Yishayim and saying, go to sleep. Go to sleep. I don't need your Ashkocha. Keep away. Adarabba. Use it. Overlook silly things. connect with people. If you aren't drunk, pretend you are drunk and make out with those people that you want, really wanted the whole year round. Reawaken the Hashkacha Aleinu, reawaken the love to Rabbeinu Shleilam, reawaken Kosh Baruch Hu's love to us, and Be'ez Hashem, this Purim could be like no other Purim. Amen.